Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
What is it that they're doing? Why are they here? You ever have that question to yourself? Why am I here? Have you ever been in a room full of people thinking, why am I here? What am I doing here? Most people have felt that way. But what is it the apostles and the disciples were to do? They were to spread the gospel. That's what they were here for. Now, this morning, I know it's always intimidating for us to understand that, but as we're going through the book of Acts, there's continual lessons on how to share our faith. Why? Because the Lord has three things for you. One is to save you. Come into faith through Jesus Christ. Become part of His family. The second, He's changing you. There's a work inside each of us. He's the greatest teacher. Oh, trust me. I know there's times you're thinking, I'm not learning anything. But He's at work. Take confidence in that. Take joy in that. The third is, go tell others. Now, this morning, if you will, the title of this message is, and don't get intimidated by this, 13 Lessons on Sharing the Gospel. It's going to be just displayed before us. So, if you will, stand up for the reading of the Word of God. Chapter 8 is where we are in Acts. Stephen, as you realize, and remember, I should say, just got stoned. Starting at verse 1, now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed. And many were paralyzed and lame were healed. The lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man has the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized, and Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And Lord, I pray for each of us that we come to an understanding this morning that you desire to do not only work in us, but through us. Bless our time. Bless our ears. Help us not to be intimidated. Help us to be open and receptive to your spirit and your word this morning. We lift these things up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, Saul. Saul was consenting. See that word? Consenting to Stephen's death means to approve together. Not passive, but an active approval. Saul wholly and completely approved of the stoning of Stephen. In fact, Saul would go on to say, this also I did in Jerusalem. Many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Now, in saying that, many believe that he was part of the Sanhedrin, meaning he voted that, hey, Stephen's got to go. Whether he was or not, can't tell you for sure. But it seems that he was. Now, great persecution at this time The church centered in Jerusalem now. It was scattered like seed. This time the church throughout the region of Judea and Samaria spread it out into. Now, if you remember, this is what Jesus told them in Acts 1:8, what was going to happen. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You're not going to be staying here long, gang. You're going to be moving out soon. Now, take note of these things. Stephen died, spread the gospel. Number one lesson. Death is a terrible thing. It's a sad thing. Looking from this side of the sun. But when you come to the sun, you understand that it's just the beginning. To those into everlasting life and to those into something people don't like to even think about. Everlasting separation from God. Death. Number one lesson. God uses death for opportunities to share faith. Now, I don't mean to be obnoxious about it, but still, it's an opportunity to those around, to those that are sad, to be sensitive to God's Spirit whenever you're part of a funeral or even death. Now, I know it's hard and it takes sensitivity, trust me. You don't just go in there and just start spreading, sharing the gospel. You have to be sensitive to God's Spirit. But still, it is a great opportunity to share your faith with those that are hurting. The other thing I want you to take note of is persecution. It also has a way of showing authenticity to this message. Maybe we aren't being persecuted like this, but we're still being watched and ridiculed. Have you been ridiculed at work? Have you been ridiculed at school? Have you been ridiculed amongst others? People are watching each of us, how we react to that. Again, it's spreading the gospel. It's sharing your faith. You're going to be made fun of. Get accepting it. That's hard for us to take. You mean you're going to ridicule me? Yeah, at times they will. Can't tell you how many times I got ridiculed. I've just learned to ignore it. And to have fun with it, to be honest with you. But at the same time, it's not pleasant. I get it. Because you always feel like sometimes around certain people, you're on the outside. But they're watching. They're watching me. It's an opportunity, too, that God will use for spreading the gospel. Notice the apostles, though, stayed in Jerusalem. What was their thing? Why were they doing this? Well, can I suggest something to you? They ran before. Remember in the garden? They ran. They were scared. Before Jesus rose again from the dead, they were hiding out. They didn't want to be seen. They didn't want to be persecuted. They didn't want any of this. But then when Jesus came to them, showed his nail prints, and said, "Gang, I'm with you always. Wherever you go, go spread the word." Now, my suggestion to you, these apostles, like, we're not going anywhere. They can't do anything to us unless God wants that to happen. Plus, our main focus right now is in Jerusalem. Why? Because that's the mother church. Until God tells us otherwise, we're staying put as the gospel's being spread. Maybe that's where you are right now. Maybe you feel like you're in a place that you have to stay. Not necessarily you want to, but you feel like something's not closed yet. Maybe there's somebody there that God wants you to share your faith with, or maybe somebody just wants to hear a good word from you. You know, that happens sometimes. You might be thinking, why am I still here? And then it happens. Something tragic or something that is, you know, interesting, that a person comes up to you and is full of pain, regardless of why, and they really want your prayer and your counsel. And you share it with them, and then you find out this person leaves the company. And then all of a sudden you feel like, I feel free. I don't know why. It's time to go on. Again, understand something. You're staying in a position where you're at has a reason, a purpose. God always has purposes. Where you're at, He always is at work. Did I mention that before? Remember, take heart. God is using you. Why? Because He's at work. always. Take heart. Now, look at verse, if you will. Verse 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. Who were these devout men? Don't know. It's just devout men. They're God-fearers. They could have been Jews that did not agree with the stoning. They could have been believers. They could have been people that knew Stephen and they knew that this was wrong. They buried him. Look at verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men, women, committing them to prison. Now, this is an interesting word. This havoc of the church describes a wild boar ravaging something in an attempt to destroy it. It's like he's gone berserk. He's gone crazy. Now, notice something. Paul mentions this later on in Philippians. He says, concerning zeal, bless you, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. My zeal was persecuting the church. He goes on in Galatians to say, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Remember, this is going to haunt Paul. We'll see. Not in a negative way, don't think that, but in something that motivated him and humbled him. Humility is a good thing. Don't ever think it's not. When you humble yourself before God, God's able to lift you up. But understand something. Paul here was trying to destroy it. He was going into houses, dragging people off, thinking he was doing the work of God. Now, you as believers, to witness, you need to go into other people's houses, drag them out of the house, beat them to death into submission. Of course, I'm just kidding. I'm not speaking. No, I'm not going to say that I'm going to get in trouble for that. But anyway, it's not what we're to do. Of course not. But again, this is showing and demonstrating Paul's zeal. And his zeal was, again, misguided and misdirected. Zeal that is misdirected is not what God desires. Zeal for the Lord is great. Listen, this is number 4. But our zeal for the Lord, we never take the form of being obnoxious or rude or aggressive. You don't have to do that. In fact, Paul was saying in Colossians, he says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Zeal is great, but it's not for us to push and pull down and knock down doors to witness. To be sensitive to God's Spirit, God will motivate, God will teach, God will open the door we're to share. And sometimes we just cast seed at the door of a person's heart, and that's all we get to do. And we walk away. It's not on you. Please understand this. This is for all of us. It's not on you to bring people to Christ. It's on us to be available to God to use to share our faith with others. See the difference? It says we be sensitive to God's Spirit moving in our hearts and being open to other people. I know you know this. You've seen it. Look in people's eyes and sometimes you can just see that they're begging. They're crying out for something. Truth. Be sensitive to that. So again, number 4 was zeal is great, but it doesn't need to be rude or obnoxious. Look at verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. I love this because here they are, they're being persecuted, they're being scattered. Saul's going around dragging people to prison, beating them. And these guys, what were they doing? They weren't afraid. They were preaching the word. Just sharing the word. Now, I know that may sound intimidating, but it's a crazy, crazy thing. And all they knew about was just preach the truth. Paul told Timothy, you know, Timothy, his protege, his last letter, told Timothy, a younger man, he said, Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's how he begins the letter to him. And then towards the end, he says this, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. So it's interesting. See, God says, look, I want to use you. Be sensitive to my spirit. I do want to use you to be a witness in this world. None of us are excluded. Now, there's different types how we do it, different personalities. I have a book in my study that's this guy. He does things I would never recommend to anybody doing. But again, it's a calling he has. That he's able to do things that, you know, again, I'm not going to mention some of the things he does. But again, that's his calling. That's not for all of us. Maybe you're that quiet person, that person just does his job every day, doesn't complain, has a sensitive ear. God uses that. And then when the time comes, the opportunity, it's not your thoughts that you need to present. Preach the word. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Maybe you're not quoting it exact verbatim, but you know the gist of it. Maybe you don't have John 3:16 memorized, but you know God so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, for our sins. And because of that now, our sins have been wiped clean and we become children of God. And see, again, you're quoting the Bible. Oh, maybe you don't know by verse, but you just did. Again, understand, don't be afraid. You have actually the ammo, if you will, the Word of God. It's powerful. It's living. Sharper than any two-edged sword. But you say, but they might not believe it. They might have all these arguments. Well, again, I have learned something. You know what? They want to argue it because, again, it's truth text. It can't be true. Because if it's true, then we have to submit to God. And we have to listen to what God has to say. We don't want that. There are those like that. But then there are hearts that are hungry for truth. They want to hear what God has to say. And lo and behold, we have letters from God. So preach the word. Don't be intimidated. Look at verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Now, Philip is not the apostle. He's the deacon. Where did he go? Samaria. What was Samaria? What was between Galilee and Judea? And it was, if you will, the nicest way I can say this and the clearest way, they were half-breeds, half-Jewish, half-Gentile. The Jews despised them. In fact, many times the Jews would walk around Samaria to get to Galilee, however they could. To go through Samaria, that could be very painstaking because, again, they despised them, except, again, they had an example. Who was it? Jesus. In John chapter 4, what does it say? Jesus needed to go through Samaria. Jesus says, come on, boys, let's go. Jesus, you don't understand. This is Samaria. No, 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 no. You follow me. I'm not following you. You follow me. And where does he go? He goes to a town of Sychar. Now, interesting point. Take this because it'll come back into play. Sychar is about less than 10 miles away from the city of Samaria. And who does Jesus witness to? A woman at the well. And then that woman at the well, what does she do? She goes and tells the men of Sychar. And then they all come out. And many believe, first because of her testimony, and then second of all, they listen to Jesus. It's interesting to take note of this, but I know we don't really have to say this here, but again, listen, the sixth lesson here is the church is open to all races, all cultures, all people. It's not a white man's religion. It's not just a Jewish man's religion. It's not anyone's religion. It's the God of the world who's looked out to all mankind and says, whomsoever. So for us, we have to understand that. It's not something that we say, oh, but this person can't come to faith because he is this person. Religion too, may I say, is to be open to the Spirit, to sharing to anyone. Even if you think, oh, there's no way this person's going to come to faith. Again, notice, we'll talk about this in a second. Anybody and everybody is open to the possibility of coming to faith. Now, notice what he was doing. What was he doing? He was preaching Christ. Preach the word, you preach Christ. Simply. What does Jesus mean to you? What has he done in your life? Are you here? See, it all touches where you are. It's personal, but see, the problem that has been in the past is that religion is personal. No, no, no. The personal part is so that you can share it publicly. Did you know that? Let me say it again. The personal is for you to share publicly. God says, what have I done for you? Go tell others. What does Jesus mean to you? Preach Christ. That's number 7. Look at verses 6 and 7. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out, many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed, lame, were healed. Now you're saying, I got you, preach. Come on, man. I'd like to do this. I mean, miracles, people would come to faith. If I went downtown and started touching, laying my hands on people, I think I'd get a crowd. And then the crowd would come and hear what I had to say. Don't look at me, but Jesus Christ healed this person. Why isn't God doing these things? He can. Oh, yeah, he can. But please understand something. Here is another truth that needs to be spoken. It's number 8. See, they were watching Philip. They were listening to his message and they were seeing what God was doing through him. He was living out what he was speaking. See, people are watching us. They're listening to us. And number 8 is people are hearing and listening to us, watching. They want to see how real God is to us. Because if it's real, that's what people want. They want what's authentic and true. Look at number 8, and if you will, or see verse 8. And if you will, this is a great one. This is number 9. Notice something here. And there was great joy in the city. What? Joy of what? Joy in Christ. They were saved. They were free. Free from what? Free from sin. Free from the guilt of sin, the penalty of sin, the shame of sin. Finally, they found something that was real and true and honest and pure. It brought great joy. Think about it in that society. We live in quite the country. We do. But we don't understand countries like this. And during this time, scratching for a living to survive. They weren't worrying about paying the mortgage. No, they were worried more about what are they going to eat today? Where's the food going to come from? How are we going to mend our torn clothes? The roof that's made out of thatched, how are we going to fix it? Or thatch it, excuse me. How are we going to fix it? The simple things of life, just surviving is all they can think about. And then they come to understand that God sees them. God knows who they are. That God cares for them. That he actually sent his son to die for them. That there's purpose in life. That there's meaning. That it's not just surviving from day to day. But there's actually a God that sees and cares. And wants to take care of them. There was great joy. There's joy in the Lord. I think sometimes we miss that. Sometimes we get weighed down with our problems and our struggles and our sin. We forget about something. Do you know in Zephaniah 3:17, one of my favorite verses, which I know I quoted many times, it says that God sings over us? So many times we think God's up there going, ah, Brian, how many times do we have to go over this? How many? Remember we talked about it last week. Grieving the Holy Spirit is because God loves you. And He's saying to us, oh, don't go waste your time in the pits. Stay here with me. Stay here. See, there's joy in the Lord. And please, if nothing else we hear today, hear this. There's great joy in heaven because of you. The angels rejoiced when you came to faith. Do you think God's up there? And sometimes we think this because humanly we see these in crusades and stuff. That, oh, we get to check you off that you came to faith. And God's up there going, yep, there we go. Josh has come to faith. Good job, Josh. Okay, who's next? No, Josh, guess what? God's going to be with you all your life. Walking with you through all the trials, the struggles, and the joys of life. That's the same with all of us. That He has great joy over each of us. And it's important for us to understand this. In fact, Paul will go on to say this in Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. In the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah, which is one of my wife's favorite verses, simply says this, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you find that to be true? Joy. God loves you. Joy. God knows what you're struggling with. Joy. God wants to see you through it. Joy. God wants to rejoice with you. Joy. God's at work in you. Joy. God never gives up on you. Joy. But God wants to draw closer to you. Joy. See, the gospel message is about joy. We miss that sometimes. Even now, we think, oh, it's a drudgery. We gotta share our faith? Kind of like being over here quietly, you know? No. Do people see joy in your life? Do they see joy in your heart? Oh, I'm not saying that, oh, praise God, I just got fired. I'm talking about stupid stuff like that. I'm talking about a joy of understanding, yeah, I just got fired. But you know, Lord, God will take care of me. I know He will. Even though inside you might be going, oh, I know it's true, God. Help me enter into that understanding you got me. You got me. No matter what we're facing, there's joy. Now let's get going. Look at verses 9 through 12. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city, astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man has great power of God. And they heeded him because he astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But then they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Both men and women were baptized. Now, Simon's a character we'll talk about later. We will. We'll touch on him in just a minute. But the bulk of it we'll talk about next week. But notice something. What was Philip preaching but the kingdom of God? What would that be? Notice also, what was it? The name of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, first let's look at number 10. He preached the kingdom of God. It is about something. What? There is a kingdom. It's about heaven. And if you will, it is about hell. But it's about heaven. That God desires for everyone to come and live at His house, if you will. To be with Him throughout eternity. It's about God is sovereign. It's about God's power. It's about God's authority. It's about God is in control. This is the kingdom of heaven. It's just not an old man up there saying, oh, I hope you come to faith in Jesus Christ, my son who died for us. No, it is the God of all eternity. It's a God without beginning. It's a God without end. It's a God that is sovereign. It's a God that is in control. He's in control of your life. He's in control of all things. And he's calling to you right now to come to faith in him. For his love for you is eternal. But you must come. Sound like Billy Graham right now, don't I? But you must come. Preach the kingdom. Preach the truth about the kingdom. This is about heaven and hell. It is about a decision. It is about a choice. But again, it's about being sensitive to his spirit. But what is the name you give? There is no other name given among men by which men must be saved. It must be about Jesus. This isn't just making people feel good about themselves. This isn't making people feel good about the fact that they're sinners. That anybody and everybody can come to faith. Even if you want to believe in Buddha, that's fine. You'll make it there. Do you want to believe in Muhammad? That's all right. You'll make it there too. No, there's no other name. Tell the truth. It's Jesus and he's the only one. He's the only one. Last thing. Well, excuse me, two more. Number 12. Notice that they were baptized. And you say, okay, well, what does that mean? You could grab, save somebody and you say, come on, I'm going to go dunk you now. Well, that'd be great. But it's also encouraging them to be baptized. Why? Because it identifies themselves publicly with Jesus Christ and a confession of their faith before others. And you also want to share something else with them. Tell somebody else that you just gave your life to Christ. Because see, that's where the rubber meets the road. It's the hard part. You mean I have to tell somebody I just came? Yes. Yes. Share this truth. You speak it. God, again, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But also a man must speak it, as it says in Ephesians 9 and 10. Confess it with their mouth. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the last one I want you to take note of. Look at verse 13. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, again, Simon is an interesting character, but I just want you to look at it face value right now. Simon came to faith. What does that mean? Simon was the one that was drawing all the attention from the people. If you will, Philip probably looked at him and said, he's the last one that's come to faith. Now, we do that too. There's people in your circle of friends, your circle of acquaintances. And you think, this person's never coming to faith. You don't know that. That might be the one that's crying out the loudest. 13 is do not exclude anyone. If the opportunity, the Spirit leads, the doors open, share your faith. You just never know what will happen. Because a lot of times the one that's the most obnoxious is the one that's crying the loudest. Please, somebody, speak truth. I knew a man, his name was Bill. And Bill, if you will, was a tough, tough man. How tough? 4 tours in Vietnam. Reconnaissance. He would tell me times that he would be out for weeks and weeks in the jungle by himself. How did you survive, Bill? They taught us what kind of bugs we could eat, what kind of vegetation we can eat. I was in the mud, I was in the dark, I was in holes, I was everywhere. Wow. Did you kill people, Bill? I had to. Many a time. I won't even tell you some of the things he used to tell me. But he got thrown in jail after his tours. And one of the reasons why he got kicked out, if I remember right, is that they asked him, said, well, why would we not re-enlist you? What do you, and they'd asked a series of questions, and one of them was, what do you think of death? He said, not applicable. They said, yeah, I think it's time for you to go home. But see, back then too, there was an actress that was doing some certain things about promoting Viet Cong. And he got it in his head that he was going to assassinate her. So he was thrown in jail for a little bit. After he got out of jail, he was a motorcycle gang enthusiast. And he would tell me how he would just jump on his bike, him and his buddies, and they would just ride. Sometimes for months, just going places. Part of a biker's gang. He was very intimidating to most people, and he had a temper. But see what's interesting about him? Came to faith. Oh, I wasn't me. Somebody did. Somebody shared with him. And he found salvation through Jesus Christ. Oh, was he a perfect man? Oh, he had a lot of stuff the Lord had to clean out of his attic. But if you looked at him face value, you would think, no way. Absolutely not. Somebody was bold enough. Somebody stood up with him. Somebody shared. Who's the Bill in your life? Don't discard him. Did I mention we have a great God? Who's sovereign? Preach the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your truth. Lord, we're intimidated. We are. But help us to understand, just as you told Timothy through Paul, you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to be bold when we need to be. Lord, we understand we can't be bold in preaching your word, and some of us can be. The truth of who you are, but Lord, you have called each of us to be your witnesses. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would minister to each of us in the realm of our lives where we are, that you desire to work in and through us. Help us to understand these 13 points in a different way. And really, the bottom line is Jesus Christ is the only way, and he came to die for our sins, putting it upon him. In turn, he's clothed us in his righteousness, and he calls us friend, children of God. What joy there is for each of us. And what joy, Lord, we pray that we would now walk in. That we have the privilege, the peace, the right, the joy of being called yours. So, Lord, I just thank you that the loving kindness and mercies of you are new every morning. Let us be men and women that are open to your call at any beck and time to share the truth of Jesus Christ with whomever you desire, being sensitive and understanding that we save no one, but you save others through your children and those that are willing to open their hearts to receive. So, Lord, we just lift all these things up to you this morning. We give you the praise and the honor and the joy of being called your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.